With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bits, our little gift for you podcast subscribers with me, Harriet Minter, and this week, Amanda Prowse and Scarlett Douglas. We're meeting two women who are literally writing the book on social media etiquette. Is it making your life better or worse, and why? They've got the answer. We're joined by Naomi Shimada and Sarah Raphael to talk about their new book, Mixed Feelings.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Social media. Do you love it or hate it? Do you sit there counting the likes on your Instagram posts or arguing with trolls on Twitter? And if you do you know what the impact is actually on your mental health? Well, our next guests think they do. Naomi Shimada and Sarah Raphael have written a book, it's called Mixed Feelings, Exploring the Emotional Impact of Our Digital Habits. Welcome to Badass Women's Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're both so polite. Thank you. Sarah, what was it that made you think we need a book that properly points out what social media is doing to us?
Many things. One of which was the fact that we were having these conversations with our friends all the time, and all the conversations we overheard were about these topics. I think so many people use social media and it's a solitary experience. You're looking at your phone on your way to work or in bed before you go to sleep, and all these things we're experiencing we're isolated, but everyone's feeling them. Yeah. So we really wanted with the book to start a conversation around these topics and to kind of, we've written chapters ourselves, but we have loads of essays with other women and interviews and group
Q&As.
Discussions.
Exactly, yeah.
Naomi, you've got sort of tens of thousands of followers on social media. Presumably you love it then.
I mean, the book is called Mixed Feelings for a reason. I think to have a smartphone and any kind of social media profile in this day and age is to have mixed feelings about it. There's good and bad. And I think that's what makes it so tricky, because to be alive and to be connected to people now, everyone is using social media. It's like, do you want to sit in a dark hole by yourself, or do you want to be a part of the world? Because that's what it feels like. It feels like you're a part of the world. And that's what's so great about it, is also that you can be connected to the rest of the world so instantaneously in a way you have access that we've never had before. So my whole career has been, really built on social media, which is, I've been privileged enough to shoot huge campaigns, travel all over the world, meet so many great people. But it also has had a different kind of effect on my life in a way that I'm not always comfortable with. As I've been a model for 15 years, for me, I used to just be able to, my job used to mean just going to a photo shoot, having my picture taken, coming home. But now you really are the product. You are selling yourself, the essence of who you are. And, that is a complicated feeling sometimes, because brands aren't just coming to you for an image. They're coming to, access your audience even, to sell them things. Essentially, at its core, let's call it what it is. It's capitalism magnified. And I sometimes have discomfort about that, and I'm also selling a lifestyle that isn't always attainable to everyone and pretending it's normal.
And those are extra pressures then put on you, right?
Yeah. And I don't always feel comfortable about that because you're only seeing a curated version of my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's enough room for the human experiences you know, the good, bad, the ugly that also happen. So that's what our book is really about, is like, you know, when social media is a place for projection and pretense, you know, everyone is living their best life. Like, we really break down in the book, what does that even mean? Mm. You know, so I think, you know, to sell an idea of success, it doesn't look the same to everyone. Success doesn't feel or look the same to everyone, but on Instagram it does. Mm. So we're conditioned to think that, you know, being happy just looks like this, when happiness can mean so many different things to all of us, but there isn't enough room for that on social media.
It's a culture of kind of visible success and visible popularity, and even, you know, from work to like wellness culture and lifestyle and beauty, particularly, all of these topics that have become, you know, homogenized, and everyone feels like they're trying to meet the same standards, which are the pictures that get loads of likes on Instagram, and kind of selling these dreams. And that has a huge impact, and some people like Naomi, you know, attract loads of followers because she has a great energy on Instagram, but other people are posting these pictures trying to emulate that kind of thing and then really struggling because they're not getting that
because it's not authentic
feedback.
Is it?
And it's not authentic.
Yeah, exactly. We're selling authenticity, you know, and I don't want to make people feel bad about their own lives, you know? So I think there's a big discussion that also just needs to happen. And both me and Sarah, you know, claim throughout the book, we don't have the answers. But I think at least when you're having these feelings, like Sarah said, in isolation, at least it makes you feel less alone.
I think it's like great you're having the discussion. I think it's opening up the discussion is really important.
None of us have the answers. All this technology is so new.
Well, we haven't lived it, have we? That's the thing. We haven't lived it.
We've never had, you know, what we also learned from this book that we always talk about is that even though we wrote a book thinking we wrote a book about social media, we actually wrote a book about what it means to be human, the human condition. Because, you know, as humans, we've always, you know, over the ages compared ourselves to other humans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've felt things like jealousy and, you know,
and envy.
Yeah, and like also the comparison comes from survival, right? You know, who's going to build the best shelter? Who's going to kill the best cow, you know? So we're now just doing that on an extremely magnified level.
Where you can see what everybody over the world is doing.
We're not supposed to have access to this much information.
And to see what you're doing in you know, to put that under such scrutiny, to put up your own life and then to look back at your own feed and think, you know, have all these feelings about pictures of yourself and what you've done and your achievements, and to kind of keep on referring back to that. We're looking at ourselves and everyone in our peripheral vision in such detail. And yeah, I think we should be focusing more on how we feel in our own
lives. Sometimes post because they haven't posted for a while and there's a pressure to do so, rather than
definitely.
I've got something great to say. I mean, that isn't that turning it on its whole head, though?
Well, there's a weird culture of saying, "So sorry, I haven't posted for a few days." What are you apologising for? You've been having a life. How lovely.
Sarah, what's your favourite Black Mirror quote that you always talk about? The please authenticate my existence.
Yeah, Charlie Brooker said, every statement uttered on social media could be replaced by the words, please authenticate my existence.
Yeah, I think
it's
that's
like
so
if you're
true.
Not posting, you're dead.
Are you still alive? Should we be worried about you?
I have people doing that. I'm on Instagram. That's probably the one I use the most. And I do post every day, at least if I can. There have been times when I've not posted and people are like, is everything okay, Scarlett?
You okay, hon?
I'm like, I'm good. I'm just working. Like, I'm away in the sunshine. I want to enjoy this without doing it through my phone. But okay, I'll post a picture for you tomorrow so you know I'm still here. But it is. It's just so much pressure. And we were mentioning this earlier. And, you know, a younger generation's coming up and the pressure's on them to be cool and to be liked and, you know, to be popular and famous. And it's just, I couldn't do it at such a young age. Like, even now as a 32-year-old woman, I'm still looking at other people's pages and like, well, why am I not doing what they're doing? I'm not as successful as them. And you think, hang on a second, stop.
Yeah.
You're seeing what they want you to see. And also, as you said, look back on your feed and think, oh, actually, no, I am doing well. Like, the other day I was like, oh, this person gets to travel all the time for work. And I was like, hang on a second, I definitely travel all the time for work. And you stop and you look through and you think,
your desires are fueled by what you're exposing yourself to on social media. So, you know,
your measures change. Yeah.
Everyone was talking about echo chambers however many years ago that became a popular phrase. Mm. And it's still the same. And the people we follow, we look at their lifestyles and think, maybe I should be doing that. Maybe I should be doing that job. And we might not necessarily want these things if we weren't looking at them, but it impacts our desires. I think I think about the next generation and kind of Gen Z and how they'll be affected, because all the headlines imply that it's, you know, it's going to destroy them, social media. Mm. But I was recently looking on TikTok, the like dancing and lip syncing. I sound like a grandma already.
I have downloaded that this week, and it is just bombarding me with notifications. And also, I watched it and I was like, oh, the kids are not okay. We need to help the kids. The kids are not okay.
But there is a hashtag on TikTok, which is hashtag cringy and hashtag awkward. And there's loads of iterations of these hashtags. And it's all about teenagers, like, deliberately awkward dancing in their bedrooms and reliving those moments, those excruciating moments you have when you're 13 and you're dancing around, like, to Blue with blue lipstick on or something. And they're doing that on social media. And I thought that was actually quite hopeful because it's like, it's not the, you know, the perfect unattainable lifestyles and the perfect selfies and all these other things that are more prominent on Instagram. They're like reclaiming being an awkward teenager.
But then my worry about that again is, are they only doing it because the mass is doing it and they feel like they have to do it to fit in? That's my worry.
That. Yeah. But is that at least a healthier way to have fun than playing on Facetune and making you think that you need fillers, for example? It's a bit more innocent of a version. Yes,
very true.
It is there, but I was like watching some of this and I was like, oh my God, I mean, full credit to them. They are working hard. They are basically building their own media brands on TikTok before school. Like, it's like...
I'm sitting here in silence because I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
I didn't know either. Like, but I was watching one girl and she was doing... They basically do kind of lip syncing to songs, but then they put funny quotes on it, or they might do it in a funny style. And one girl was like, if I don't get 50,000 likes on this, I'm not going to school. I was like, you have to go to school and get an education.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
Go
to school.
Quite a good marketing strategy, though. She really does know her brand.
Really.
But do you think different platforms are kind of influencing us in different ways? Because when we talk about social media platforms, Instagram is very pretty and, you know, it's all... Everything is happy. Everything is our highlight of success. But then when we go to Twitter, it's full on anger all the time.
Yeah, it's the wrath end of the seven deadly sins. I find Twitter really difficult. And as a journalist, it should be the place I'm most comfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's where my people congregate and kind of share opinions and disagree. But I find it such an uncomfortable space. Like, it's so loud. However, so many positive things have happened from Twitter. I mean, Me Too happened from a tweet and, you know, it has achieved a lot. But again, you know, echo chambers are a big issue on Twitter and, you know, the way it's affected politics is a big issue. I think Twitter's tough. YouTube I like. I think YouTube is, I think maybe that's the most popular app. And I think kids are doing really interesting things on there and making amazing content that's really... changing the whole media industry.
Yeah. We are going to keep talking to Sarah and Naomi here on Badass Women's Hour XL.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We're in the studio with Naomi Shimada and Sarah Raphael talking about their new books, Mixed Feelings, Exploring the Emotional Impact of Our Digital Habits. Ladies, if we want to use social media in a way that it makes us happy or it has a positive impact on our life, what should we be doing?
I think going back to what Sarah was saying about the echo chamber, that's the cool thing we can control, right? Yep. So if something triggers you or makes you feel less than or makes you feel, think less about your body or makes you feel really insecure, mute them or unfollow them. You have that power. And, you know, find profiles that make you feel good. I think that's one of the most positive things that's happened on social media is, you know, being able to see different kinds of beauty out there. You know, it's how the whole body positive movement started, or, you know, seeing different versions of Black beauty for once. And, like, I think it's been a big shift in how it's changed advertising, because I think, you know, audiences have connected so much to seeing what real beauty posts, you know, beyond a Dove campaign from the 90s. Yeah. You know, I think the public were ready for more. And, you know, I think that is when I feel really good about social media. I mean, I owe my career thanks to it. So I think doing things like that, and also allowing yourself to have healthy breaks. You know, we both took a lot of time off when we wrote this book, and now we have a book to promote, so obviously I'm back on social media. But also, you know, I also connect and speak to people from all over the world, and it's given me this kind of access for me to talk to other people and people to connect with me. And I think the healthy breaks have given me a chance to kind of, once again, referring back to the echo chamber, be able to question yourself, like, is this how I feel about something, or am I being told to feel this about something? Mm-hmm. And being able to just clarify and tune into what are your own thoughts and feelings about something is what the breaks have allowed me to do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, like Twitter, it's just people shouting, right? Everyone's shouting, and you're like, there's so many overwhelming things and feelings being said. It's really hard to kind of separate about who am I, who are all of us, what do I want, what, you know, going back to the success, the value systems. I think, you know, me and Sarah often talk about, it's not just the pressure for perfection isn't just in our work lives anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who's going on the best holiday? Like, yeah. You know, who's eating the most, like, beautifully plated meals? And, you know, we're looking at our faces in a way that, and bodies in a way that we've never looked at them before. The self-objectification used to only was like a thing if you were like an actress or a model.
Yeah.
And now that pressure to be so beautiful, and, as you know, you can't see me on radio, but I'm putting beautiful in air quotes, because, you know, that means different things, should mean different things to all of us. But beauty has been homogenized on Instagram to look just like one way.
Mm.
I mean, Sarah writes a lot about beauty in the book.
I have stopped taking selfies, which was one positive step. And it's one of those things. I mean, the average millennial will take 25,000 selfies in their lifetime, which is a lot. And it's become a digital instinct, like something that you do if you're, you know, procrastinating or you're bored. You just flip up the camera on your phone and you take a photo of yourself. Those photos always made me feel really, really bad about myself. But it's like I continued to do it, like, just, yeah, an instinct. And as I was researching for the chapter on beauty, I found research that said that your nose looks 30% bigger if you hold your phone at a selfie distance away, which is 12 inches.
What about your bum, Sarah? Is that where I'm going with? It's me angle.
It's all the angle. Yeah. It's all about the angle.
But it's, you know, yeah. So I stopped taking selfies, and that actually made me feel so much better about myself, just looking in the mirror and thinking, yep, fine, let's go.
I think it's a generational thing as well, because I'm 55. We didn't have photo.
What? I can't believe
that. You are my new best friend. And I think it's very much that we didn't have access to cameras. No one had a camera. Yeah. The only time you had a camera was on holiday, where you took 12 snaps.
And the little wind-up one.
Exactly.
And everyone looks great on film.
They do. And you'd take it to the chemist and maybe they'd get developed. And there was like two or three you'd keep. Now there's this absolute overwhelming volume of photographs. So, I mean, it's just, I feel concerned that I do sound like my grandma. I feel concerned for the generation that is taking 25,000 selfies. Mm-hmm. I find that absolutely mind-blowing.
But it's not even the selfies. Like, people take selfies, but
a friend of mine, she has another app where she whitens the teeth.
That's what I'm saying.
She whitens the whites of her eyes.
Yeah.
She like brings in the jaw, and I'm thinking, how have you got time to do that?
I mean, Facetune was the most paid for app, right?
In 2017, yeah.
No way.
I used Facetune for the first time while writing this chapter, and I obviously had the same, you know, poor kids these days, they're like using Facetune and changing everything about themselves. And then I put my image on it and I changed my eye colour and I made my nose smaller and I made my lips more full and I lifted my eyebrows. I shortened the tip of my nose. The detail on the menu bar in Facetune is worrying. And then by the end I looked at my picture and I thought, oh my god,
who is that?
I look fantastic. And I couldn't I made my skin all smooth. I could not stop looking at the photo in the week after, and I thought, of course, you know, I've created a digitally perfect version of myself. And that is what a lot of kids are posting on Instagram. And I thought, well, I would never actually post that because I would find it embarrassing, because I obviously look nothing like this.
Yeah.
But then I text my friends saying, I think I'm like four surgeries away from this. And I can still remember the image of beautiful digital me in my mind. And that is disturbing. Like that creates new insecurities. You know, people say that social media exacerbates your existing insecurities, but I think it creates new ones. When you go on Facetune and you see all these like eyebrow lift, I'd never considered what the level of my eyebrows were. And then suddenly I'm thinking, I don't think they're high enough.
What's the stats, Sarah, with the nose?
The nose looks 30% bigger in selfies, and then the nose tip looks 7% bigger in selfies.
That explains it.
So you have a whole generation looking in distorted mirrors and then thinking, you know, and then comparing their selfies to other people's.
But at the same time,
selfies.
Some people really use selfies as a tool of empowerment. I'm feeling myself. I love this outfit. Mm. I love this new haircut. You know, so that's why the book's called Mixed Feelings, guys. Yeah.
I have a bit of a weird relationship with the selfie thing, because I grew up in a family where we were all overweight, and so we never took photos because we were going to take photos when we all lost weight, except that never happened. So there are basically no photos of my family at all. And I would just stay away from a camera. I wouldn't go near it. Didn't look at myself in the mirror. I just would not have been able to tell you what I looked like. And then this selfie culture started, and I was like, I'm definitely not getting involved in that, because nobody wants to see my face on camera. And then I started doing it and I was like, oh, this does not look as bad as I thought it did.
Yeah.
And the more I looked at it, I was like, oh, okay. And I am really careful. Like, I don't filter, because I filtered it once and I was like, this is so beautiful, I'm going to have to do it all the time. And I was like, let's just let it go. We can't live in that space. But it really allowed me for the first time in my life to know what I looked like. And I think that is weirdly empowering.
And that's the best of social media, or the best of Instagram in particular. And that's happened in a lot of marginalised communities, like, and just kind of girls who, I mean, most teenage girls or most women would probably say they're not completely happy with the way they look. And selfies can be really empowering. And when it works in that way, it's the best thing about social media. But there's a whole other mess of stuff around that good thing.
What's your prediction for social media? Because what do you think is going to happen in the near future, the way that we are using it at the moment?
Well, there's the no likes experiment, which was rolled out in Canada, I think back in May, and now it's been rolled out in 6 more countries. So I'm presuming that it will come to the UK and the US soon.
And just to confirm, that is on Instagram, isn't it? So you can't see how many likes there.
So it will just say, for instance, like, this post was liked by Harriet Minter and Naomi Shimada. You only see 2 people.
Okay.
But you can still count the number of likes on your own posts. So that's a bit of a, like, loop, basically. But I expect to see lots more experiments like that, with social media giants taking mental health seriously. Governments are putting pressure on them. Mental health charities are putting pressure on them. And hopefully they'll start prioritising their users' mental health. I think another thing that will happen is that currently all these apps are one thing. Like, people brag about their work success, they post selfies, they post holidays, they post like everything about their lives. There's activism, there's like empowering images and communities, and everything happens all on the same feed. And I think that, you know, along with influencers and shopping and all of these things, so I think that will break up a bit more, so that it's more targeted. Like, okay, I want to go on holiday, I'm going to use this app of this a tangent of Instagram to book my holiday, and it won't be so blurred.
I'd much prefer that.
Do you think so?
Yes, good.
So we talk a lot about Instagram now, but 5 years ago we talked a lot about Facebook. Do you think we are I mean, do we even really care about Facebook anymore, or is it all about Instagram?
I haven't even used Facebook in so long.
Yeah,
no, I can't even remember the last time, to be honest. Yeah.
I've started seeing people posting photos on Facebook that they wouldn't post on Instagram because they use their Instagram for their professional profile. Mm. So you still get Facebook's loads of memes and like funny videos, and I think it still has a use. A lot of the older generation use Facebook. My dad is obsessed with Facebook.
And that's how he communicates with it.
Yeah, and it's so, I love seeing it through his eyes because he's like innocent in it, and he's from Egypt, and he's found all these people that he lost touch with when he moved to England, and he finds it the most exciting, like incredible platform.
It is,
and you know, the younger generations, there's this other side to it that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's that connectivity, though, that you're so familiar with, that for my generation, it's like, wow, I just literally, someone in Australia literally just sent me a message. They've just got up. I'm going to bed. Hey. It's like magic.
Yeah. I mean, it is in one way. It kind of is, you know?
Ladies, I've got an etiquette question for you. Mm-hmm. So in the book, you talk about how the internet has changed our relationships. Give us some relationship etiquette.
It's our juiciest chapter.
Yeah. What are some of the relationship things that have changed, and what are some of the behaviours we should be showing on social media?
I think we both wrote about this a lot. Sarah wrote more about digital paranoia.
I suffer from that a lot in relationships.
What's that? What are you doing with what person?
Yes. It's the bar where you can see who your romantic interests, like which
like that
pictures
bar should
they're
not
liking.
Exist.
Yeah. You can see if they
What's
still follow
one?
Their ex.
You know, when
you can see
the sidebar
liking...
on Instagram, you can see who likes, like, it, not your like page, but if you go onto the other one, it's like who's liking what.
Oh, yes. I know.
I actually don't know how to get onto that page, so I'm glad I don't.
Okay.
But you can... You know, in however many years ago, it would be the situation would be someone walking down the street and smiling at someone else. And if you were with your partner in that situation, you might feel annoyed.
Yeah.
Now we can see all of these little tiny actions, and that's never happened before. And it causes all kinds of paranoia. And we can see our partner's exes, you know, their holiday to Sharm el Sheikh in, you know, 2015. And everything
and they were
they
at
ate
such a nice hotel. And why are we at the Travel
nice
Lodge?
And the tiling in their first shared flat that looked so amazing. And you have access to all of this, all of these images. And it's the images.
We have so much to talk about.
We really do.
We're going to come back for a 3-hour special.
Sarah's talking for a friend, aren't you, Sarah?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk
I should have just said that in the book. This chapter was written for a friend.
This was dictated to me by...
Do you know what I love? It sounds like a book that, as a mum of boys in their 20s, I want to read it because I want to understand their world. But it's also a book for people in that world. I think it's going to be massive.
We wanted to have those two audiences.
I love
because
it, yeah.
there is such a disconnect, and... You know, every generation has its issues, but from millennial generation down, this is the issue, and it's hard to like really know about if you're just reading an article. Like you can't get into the nitty gritty, and so like all these tiny actions that people do on social media have a huge impact, and it can ruin your day. And like understanding that is important.
Final etiquette question for you. I was seeing someone and then we stopped seeing each other, and within 30 seconds of me saying we're no longer seeing each other, they unfollowed me on Instagram.
Oh my God.
I mean...
It's rude, isn't it? Yeah. It's rude. It's like at least a 48-hour wait.
At least, not
yes.
more.
And as well, you don't have to unfollow people anyway. You just
can
mute them.
Mute them.
I mean... We talk a lot about this, and we want to talk properly about what breakups even mean in the digital age, right? Because sometimes
they're
you want people
gone.
To die a digital death, you know? Like, you don't want to see them anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't want to know what they're eating for breakfast, who they're hanging out with. And it's at the tip of our fingers. We, you know, even when you're actively trying not to engage and trying not to know... If you wanted to, you can.
Oh, definitely.
So I think that's where it gets really complicated, and that's why heartbreak can be even so much longer now, because they're just everywhere.
They are everywhere, goddamn them. Mixed Feelings, Exploring the Emotional Impact of Our Digital Habits. Naomi Shimada, I'm Sarah Raphael. It's out now. Go buy it. It is fantastic. Ladies, you've been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in and joining
Thank
us.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you for
having
us. 1, 2, 3, 4!
This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton.
If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.